We are taught as children to be truthful.
No, that's not true. We are taught as children to be untruthful, to avoid being doubted or spanked, and this was still a challenge for young adults and adults to live in integrity in the moment. Once I live in integrity, it becomes easier for me, and I find great confidence arising in my being as I tell the truth more and more. We are taught as children to be untruthful, to avoid being doubted or spanked. This was still a challenge for young adults and adults to live in integrity in every moment. Once I live in integrity, it becomes easier for me, and I find great confidence arising in my being, as I tell the truth more and more. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My goodness, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As children, let's take my dog. My dog is a good example. Rex is a wonderful dog. He's a year and 5 months now, and he's just a super, super dog. However, Rex likes to play games. He likes to get attention, so he grabs the napkin off the table. And he likes to get attention, so he doesn't come when he's called. He likes to get attention, so he doesn't sit when he is supposed to sit. So what do? We go and buy him a new car. We go and buy him a new outfit. We go buy him new sporting clothes and things like that. We give him a treat. Every time he does not do what he's supposed to do, we give him a treat. Because we want to get him to come and undo what he's doing. And you see, this is how we've raised our children. We give them a treat when they're naughty. We give them a treat when they lie. We give them a treat when they do things that they shouldn't. And they think that that is what life's all about. Getting a reward for being bad, for being unreliable. You see, as children, we're taught to be untruthful so we can avoid a spanking. The spanking is a treat, if we can avoid it. And this is still a challenge in young adults and adults to live in integrity in every moment. We have the tendency not to tell the truth, and that is really tough. Once I live in integrity, it becomes easier for me, and I find great confidence arising in my being as I tell the truth more and more. Now, you say, oh, that's not me. Well, I have the monastery here filled with monks who are the most honorable, marvelous beings in the world, and they lie their heads off. They lie their heads off because I tell them to be nice to each other. Okay, we will. And they don't do it. I tell them to be courteous to each other. Okay, we will. And they don't do it. I tell them to answer the phone and talk to the people on the phone just as though they were their own mother or father who they should show respect to. And they don't. They say, what do you want? No, haven't got it. Bye. And that's not really good telephone manners, is it?
Yeah.
We want to talk and say, what may I do to help you? Is there anybody that you'd like to speak to? May I have your name, your telephone number, and how about your address? And how about your weight and your age and your social security number and all that stuff too?
Visa card number.
I'm sorry?
And the Visa credit card.
See, Sylvia didn't forget there.
Hi.
And so, but, you see, that is not right either.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to make them feel threatened. Because so many people are calling and messing up your reputation by taking your social security number and all that kind of stuff, and you know, messing up all sorts of things. But you see, we're given credit for doing naughty things from childhood on. And what a shame. What a shame. When did that start? Well, that started at many times. It started perhaps when you're a couple days old, or a week old, or whatever, and you know that if you cry, you get instant attention. You know that when you wet your pants and you cry, your mom is going to come running. Or when you cry, your mom is going to bring the bottle. Or when you cry, you see, and so we learn to cry. Now, how can we avoid a child crying and yet have the child be taken care of in a proper way? Well, we should stand there 24 hours a day with a bottle in our hand and a fresh diaper in our hand, you know. We should stand there. And when we hear him go, squeeze it out, we should take it off and pick it up. But they don't do that. Parents don't do that. They say, he's making a mess. And they don't instantly go in and prepare him for changing diapers. They just stand there and I don't want this, you take him, you know. And they pass him off and they say, you change. Don't go shaking your head like that. You're not living in real society. Ellen thinks every mother, every father, every person who has a shitty baby on their hands is the happiest person in the world. They want to change his diapers immediately. There are a lot of fathers who never want to change their kids' diapers. You know that? They can't stand the smell. And what a terrible thing, because it's got to be done, you know. And they may be alone with the child at some time and no mommy around. They're going to just let the kids float, you know. And you see, this is what we are taught. This is what we are taught. Avoid unhappy circumstances at any cost. And if you're home alone with the kid and you're the daddy and the neighbor lady's out in the yard and you say, oh, Jean, come over and see what little Peter has done. And so she comes over and she says, ooh, he's got to be changed. Here, let me take him and change him. You know, and you knew she was going to do it. But the thing is, that's not right either. You see, we teach manipulation, we teach maneuvering, we teach how to get around things and not handle things correctly. And you think I'm joking? Huh. You don't know how truthful I really am on all areas. Yes. Even to lying. I was brought to task the other day for saying that we should lie sometimes. And my statement that we should lie sometime, can any of you tell me when we should be lying?
Never.
Can any of you tell me when we should be lying? Now, you had your chance. Ingeborg, when should we lie?
Never.
When should we lie?
Never.
Well,
we never.
You had your chance. Now, we should lie when we are telling a falsehood. When we tell a falsehood, we are lying. But when we tell a falsehood, what should we do? There are your gists, huh? So he knows where to put them, huh? That's nice. Okay. Ellen comes to me and she says, Herb, I got a headache. And I say, Ellen, you got a headache? Well, I hope you have many more of them to please you. And she says, No. That's not what I want. And I say, well, tell the truth about yourself. You may not be having the appearance of having a happy head, but start saying, I have a happy head. Like my sister, she said to me as I was working on her garden, she said, well, doesn't that bending over bother your back? And I said, no, I have a happy back. And I tell myself I have a happy back, and I have a happy back. I was out walking the path today, picking weeds out of the path, and yesterday picking weeds out of the path. Today's a good day because it's very moist. And I have a happy back. I don't even see or hear or feel myself bending over. I just bend over to pull out the weeds, and then I have a fight. I try to throw the weeds away, and the kid, Rex, he chases the weeds and brings them back to me. And then he grabs the weeds from me as I throw them in the air, and he has such a good time. Well, it takes twice as long to pull the weeds out that way. But he has fun and I have fun. But I do not even think about my back. I do not even think that I have a bad back like so many people like to think. When we always lie about what we don't want and tell the truth about what we do want, then we will experience it. You know that everything is temporary. You know one moment you can say, I am whole and perfect, and the next moment you can be unwhole and perfect. Or the next moment you can be whole and perfect. What is it that you want to do? And now the word lie comes across so interestingly. Now look, you say lie and you wrinkle your nose at it. Well, what about truth? You wrinkle your nose at truth too?
No.
And what is the truth? Is the truth that you have a bad back? Or is the truth that your back, your pure, perfect back is there? And you call that into motion. Now, you can call, hey, you can have whatever you want, a good back or a bad back. You call it, you name it, you experience it. Now, but you just said a minute ago that your back hurt. Yes, that was stupid of me. I named it and claimed it and experienced it. My back is whole and perfect. My back is fantastic. So, I was speaking to church in New Jersey, and as I was talking to the church, I was telling them all sorts of positive things, and then my voice creaked while I was singing to them. And nobody paid any attention to it. They loved the song. Do you know what they did? They applauded me after the silly song. No, not the silly song. After the silly way I sang the song. Because they loved the song. And in Brooklyn, in Evelyn's church, they did the same thing. Ingrid's church, they did the same thing. In Joy's church, they did the same thing. They all love my singing. Or is it they love my song? They love the words that I'm singing to them. But you see, I tell them, don't let it bother you how you sing. Just sing. And let your heart know that it has a beautiful place to go and flow and respond to what the world is all about. You see, this is something that is so unfortunate that we teach that to our children. But it's not only that we teach it to our children. We keep repeating it every year, every year, every year. This morning I gave a talk on living in the monastery. And I talked about pictures and photographs and things like that. And every time you pull out a photograph, you are going back in your memory to the time that that photograph was taken with that person. Oh, that was years ago. And like Ellen brought me a photograph today, and she says, this woman's dead. And I thought, oh, bully, she looks alive to me, you know?
My cousin.
And so, is that the way you're going to think about her, dead or alive?
Alive.
Well, then, why did you tell me she was dead? I didn't need to know that, did I?
No.
Do you think I'm ever going to see her again?
Yes.
You think I'm going to see her?
Yes, you see her always.
That's very nice of you. Now, that brings us to another point. If I'm going to be in the allness and be the allness, I will not see the uniqueness. So I will never see her again because I'm not going to spend my time in the uniqueness. I'm going to spend my time in the allness where everybody is and everybody's perfect and everybody's doing exactly what they want to do. But the thing is, when you start pretending that I'm going to be seeing somebody that I don't even know hardly, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree. I haven't even thought about that lady since we were there visiting with her, you know? And since you reminded me that she wanted to be argumentative about our philosophy. And that was great. But she really wasn't argumentative about our philosophy. What was she doing? She wanted us to talk about it, and she knew that if she said, oh, that's nice about everything I said, I wouldn't say anything more. But when she says, oh, but is this really so? Is that so? You know, how do you figure this? Well, that gets me going, you know. So she knew what she was doing. Smart lady. And the old gal next to her, she's still around.
Yeah.
And she's still gray-haired.
Blonde hair.
Blonde? Oh, the blonde lady is alive, and the gray-haired lady has left.
Yes. Well,
the gray-haired lady was the lady that we went to see, wasn't she? That's your cousin.
They were three cousins.
Well, I don't care. That was the special cousin. Or what was it? Where is the special cousin?
This cousin you met one time. The very special who is over 90 years old, the tiny one, she's still alive.
She's still honking around.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you see? You know, I really had no interest in either of them because I had only seen them like, hello, goodbye. You know? But I bless them and love them, and that's great. You see, telling the truth, being honest, being sincere, is really quite something. What is the truth? What is the truth? When you hear the stories of what people tell in court, and then you know the truth about things, and you hear what they say, you think to yourself, why do you do that to yourself? Why do you build the case of falsehood for yourself that you're going to have to live with all your life? And if you lost something, just say, I lost it. And no big deal. If you can't find it, you say it's around here someplace. I have no idea where it is. Just say, I can't find it. It's around here someplace. I don't know where it is. But if you say I lost it, then it's over with. We'll stop looking, you know. But if you don't say that, then we're going to look and look and look, and it isn't worth looking.
Right.
It isn't worth looking. I mean, how long can a piece of cake last when you're looking for it, you know? Months on end? So,
for some people, yes.
What's that?
For some people, yes.
For some people, yes, yes. Put it in the refrigerator. Yeah. So these are the wonderful things that we're doing. And you are going to go and take care of our bread. And life is wonderful. It's filled with all sorts of good things and wonderful things. And Rex, you're wonderful too, aren't you? See? And you know it, don't you? Yes. So, remember these things. We are taught as children to be untruthful, to avoid being doubted and spanked. Now, let's realize we're not going to be doubted, we're not going to be spanked. All we have to do is tell what we believe to be the truth and stand by it and not give a second thought to it. When we do that, we'll live a happy, healthy, harmonious, beautiful life. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.